On this day when we are moving our way through the book of Acts, we are going to pause and even especially remember the role of the Holy Spirit in helping the church to grow, including you and I today. We also notice this message. Jesus mentions it in the gospel about persecution coming. Paul mentions it when he talks about all the persecutions he has endured that God has helped him through. And we hear it especially in our reading from the book of Acts. So much that is here that we need to work our way through and remember. So much that's there, and we pray the Holy Spirit can give us that guidance and that help to do just that. Just to sort of connect us with where we've been. Last week, Paul had been encouraged by God to stay in Corinth. And God had said to him there, you know, it's a very large city, influential, coastal city, a little bit like Houston, I think, in that respect, and to stay there for 18 months. Imagine, if you would, Billy Graham coming to Houston for a one-week crusade, and it turns into 75 weeks after that. That's really what was happening and going on. And imagine the joy that's there for Paul. Imagine the joy that's there for all the souls that are saved by that message, by hearing the gospel. And it's in the book of Acts where we are reading that, where we are reading the very earliest history of the church and getting clues for us as the church here today. We see the struggles. We see the opposition. We see what was, and I think we could say still is, and especially in other parts of the world, that it's never far away. A Christian missionary and his son in India, killed as they sleep in their car, as some zealots come around them and firebomb them and prevent them from getting out. Christians persecuted in China, in Burma, in countries around the world, even put to death for the sake of their faith and the witness in which they stand. In Acts chapter 19, just before today's reading, it puts it this way in Acts 19, verse 23. About that time, there arose a great disturbance in the way. Paul is seeing great success. The kingdom is growing. There's a lot of fruit. And then comes this opposition. It was C.S. Lewis who said some years ago that every single square inch of this universe has been claimed by God Almighty and counterclaimed by the evil one. He's really the source of where the persecution comes from, trying to stop the kingdom of God, trying to stop the hope and the light and the love and the grace from going out to others. And we hear it even in today's chapter as Paul starts out. He's traveling. He's speaking many words of encouragement. He stays there 3 months, it says in Acts 20, verse 3. But then some began to plot against him, and he's once more forced to leave. And then there's today's reading. Paul is saying goodbye to leaders of one of his favorite churches. He had spent 3 wonderful years in Ephesus sharing the gospel, seeing so many lives changed there as every place else before. He loves these people. He loves these leaders, but he tells them plainly, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. And you might say, oh, that was only happening back then. Friends, it is still happening today. Someone who claims they have a new understanding of the scriptures. There's a new and different way to be a Christian. That we're supposed to be a Christian and a, whatever it is, Christian and a patriot, Christian and this. We're all supposed to be patriotic for our country, but it is Christ that's our number one allegiance. And there will be people who have come and still do today trying to distort the truth to tell us there's going to be some kind of different heaven on earth created by man, created by whomever, created by someone other than Jesus. And this is what Paul was warning about, distorting the truth to draw others away. It was a burden on Paul's heart. It was the last time to see them. He had to get this message across. And I think it adds to the urgency for us to be on the watch for any time anyone here or elsewhere is trying to add to the gospel, to change it, to divert it, to make it be about something other than Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and the saved by grace gift that we've been given. And then we read in today's reading as we go on. But I want to just kind of give you a highlight of what happens over the next five or so chapters in the book of Acts. What happens to Paul after he has this moment of tearful encouragement and warning and guidance to these beloved elders on that beach? Over the next five chapters, Paul will be beaten. Arrested. Imagine, if you can, you're the guy being beaten to death by the crowd and the cops arrest you. But, you know, that's what happened. Arrested, facing legal inquiry like a grand jury before the Jewish leaders. He's taken into custody again to prevent a riot. He faces an assassination attempt. He endures three trials before ultimately appealing to the Supreme Court of his day. He appeals to Caesar to stand before the emperor in Rome. On the way there, he's hounded by a hurricane, he's shipwrecked, he's literally snake bit, and yet survives it all. Snake bit, finally delivered to Rome for his trial. That may sound like quite a list. You wonder, well, what happens next? That's next week. We'll get to that. But we need to sit here that in the midst of all that, in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, Paul gets this one thing. In the midst of the snake bite and the storm and the persecution and everything else that's happening to him, in 23, verse 11 of chapter of Acts, it says, "That night the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify in Rome.'" It is a reminder that not just for Paul, but for all of us in the church, persecution is never far away. Persecution's closer than we realize. But let us also remember that that Jesus is closer still. He is also close to us. And he's the one who comforts us and gives us the courage to carry on. It's Jesus who promised the Holy Spirit so that we would have that guidance from God. I imagine a lot of you, when you travel around town, you've lived here long enough, you know where you're going. You probably don't use GPS or any of those kinds of things. You just drive there. You know the roads. But imagine yourself going to a place you're not that familiar with. Imagine what a great gift that is to have the little guidance that tell you in 1.5 miles, turn right onto road, you know, whatever it is. It is that guidance, the gentle whisper, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit that God offers to us and reminds us, no matter what hard times you go through, sickness, struggles, relationship difficulties, or as today's focus in Acts, even persecution, no matter what troubles you go through, Jesus is with you. That's the Holy Spirit's whisper to us. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate that gift. That through the Spirit, we believe, or as Martin Luther tells us, we cannot by our own reason or strength trust in God or come to him. But the Holy Spirit enlightens us by the gospel and enables us to believe and come to the one true faith. Through the Spirit, we're warned, as Paul was in Acts 20, verse 23. Through the Spirit, the writers of the Bible were inspired to give us these words to cling to for all of our days. I love how the epistle puts it when it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. That means the Spirit poured in to the writers the very thoughts, the very words to use. The Spirit gave that as a gift so it could come down through all of time to all of us. It's useful. The gift of God through the Holy Spirit of the Bible is useful to encourage and strengthen and guide and rebuke and train and guide us in righteousness. Friends, this Pentecost, let's not forget the gift of the Spirit to us. In fact, let's depend on the Holy Spirit, even as the Apostle Paul did. Depend on him to help us when we're tempted and tried. Depend on him to guide us in life. Depend on him to warn us of danger as the Spirit warned Paul. Depend on the Spirit to strengthen us so that when we face any challenge, whenever it comes to us in these uncertain days, the Spirit can give us what we need to get through it. Depend on the Spirit to know that even when persecution comes to us, Jesus will come closer still. And finally, I really hope that we'll depend and seek the Spirit's strength so that we, like Paul, can do all that Jesus would have us do. May the Spirit help us live out what we heard Paul say there in Acts 20, verse 24. My only aim is to finish the race, to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Whatever that task is he's given to us as individuals, it involves loving others, it involves encouraging others, it involves serving others, it involves being there and praying for, interceding for others. Whatever those tasks are, may the Spirit fill us to do them with joy, to do them with the conviction that Jesus is close to help us do all things in his name. And may the Spirit remind us Jesus is with us to see us through. Amen.